Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Treasures of Our Faith, reflections from priests in our listening area on topics of their choosing. And now, Treasures of Our Faith.
Welcome to Treasures of the Faith. My name is Father David Schalk. I'm the pastor at Christ the King Church on the east side of Columbus. And we have been talking about the Hispanic presence and ministry in the United States and in the Diocese of Columbus in this four-part series of Treasures of the Faith. This is indeed the final segment of this discussion on the Hispanic presence and ministry here in the church. And if you recall, our first segment was on the question of immigration and the church's teaching on immigration, how the church encourages us, exhorts us really to welcome Christ in the immigrant, to see the face of Christ in the immigrant. And we discussed that thorny issue of what do we do with the 11 or 12 or even 13 million undocumented immigrants here in this country, how we with our leaders in Congress should indeed find a pathway to citizenship for these individuals and what that means exactly. What does a pathway to citizenship mean for an undocumented immigrant that's living here in this country? We also talked in the second part of this series on the changing face of the Catholic Church, just the sheer numbers of Hispanic Catholics that are practicing their faith here in this country and in our diocese, and how Hispanic ministry really is, in one sense, becoming the norm in our country. We talked in the third segment on what that looks like in our own diocese, the various programs and ministries that are taking place. We talked about the great work that's being done at St. James the Less School in Columbus. We talked about the work of the Missionary Servants of the Word and their efforts at evangelization through the Word of God. A lot of really wonderful, grace-filled happenings here in the diocese. In this fourth part of this series, this Treasures of the Faith, I would simply like to discuss Our Lady of Guadalupe and her importance in Hispanic Catholicism, really in Catholicism in general. I walked into the studio of AM 820 and saw before my eyes an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. She greeted me and I was happy to see her. She is a reminder, of course, of Christ's presence among us. That image is a reminder of her prayers for us each and every day. For those of you who don't know the story of Our Lady Guadalupe, I'd like to take just a few minutes and tell that story. If you've heard it before, well, it's one of our great treasures, really, of the faith. It is our story. It's the story of our mother and how she touched the lives of so many people. She continues to touch the lives of so many people in Mexico and throughout the Americas. The story is beautifully told and captured in images in a story in a book entitled The Lady of Guadalupe by Tommy DePaula. If you don't have that book, I recommend purchasing that book. It's a great book to have on your shelf. It's really a children's book, but it can be read by children and adults alike. Again, the book is entitled The Lady of Guadalupe. It's the story of Guadalupe, and it's written by Tommy DePaula. And the story of Guadalupe, it goes like this. It was in 1531, and Europeans had already arrived in Mexico. The Franciscans were spearheading the evangelization efforts in that country, and they had some success, not much. The natives in Mexico were not converting to the faith, not embracing the faith as they had hoped. They had some converts, and one of those converts, his name was Juan Diego. He was an Aztec Indian. He was a widower. He was not a wealthy man by any stretch of the imagination, but he did have a deep faith and a devotion to Our Lady. On his way to Mass one morning, he was passing by a hill, the hill of Tepeyac. He heard beautiful song coming from songbirds atop this hill, something like he'd never heard before. He climbed up that hill of Tepeyac and encountered Our Lady. She spoke to him and asked him to go to the bishop there in Mexico City and request that a chapel be built at that very spot atop the hill of Tepeyac, where she would attend to the needs of her people. Well, Juan Diego took this task to heart and went to the bishop in Mexico City and explained that Our Lady had appeared to him and asked him to ask the bishop to build a chapel. Well, the bishop did not take him too seriously, this man who came with a claim Our Lady had appeared to him. Well, Juan Diego left the bishop feeling sad, distraught. He returned to Tepeyac and encountered Our Lady again. He said that he really was not the man for the job. He was just a lowly individual in that society, and the bishop wasn't going to trust him, to believe him. Well, Our Lady said, "No, no, Juan Diego, you must go back." She instructed him to tell the bishop once again the importance of her message. Well, Juan Diego returned to the bishop the very next morning, and the bishop again had his doubts. He told Juan Diego that a sign would be necessary, some sort of sign that would prove that what he was saying about this apparition of Mary was true. Well, Juan Diego again was distraught. He was heading back to Tepeyac, and it turns out the bishop asked some of his advisors, those who were close to him, to follow Juan Diego as he left, to follow him clandestinely. Well, they lost Juan Diego as he was returning to the hill of Tepeyac, and they lost sight of him and had to return, and they were angry and upset. They were frustrated, and they in fact began spreading rumors about Juan Diego, making it all falsehoods about his character, and making it all the more difficult for Juan Diego to be believed in the bishop's court. Well, Juan Diego returned to Our Lady, and again, he was very, very upset. Well, she told him, well, if the bishop wants a sign, that he should return to the hill of Tepeyac and collect that sign for the bishop. So Juan Diego went home late that day, and there's a twist in the story here. He returned home and found that his uncle, Juan Bernardino, had fallen very, very ill. He attended to his uncle that evening, and it became apparent that his uncle was surely going to pass. His uncle was surely going to die. And Juan Diego thought, this man, my uncle, he needs a priest. He needs a priest so that he can receive the sacraments of the sick and go to confession and pass in good conscience. So the next morning dawned, and Juan Diego left, not thinking about this message he had to, the sign he had to collect to show to the bishop. He was thinking about the spiritual well-being of his uncle, and he headed for Mexico City, taking another path, avoiding the hill of Tepeyac. And it turns out that Our Lady knew that Juan Diego was passing by the other way and appeared to him on the other side of the hill. She assured Juan Diego that his uncle would be fine, that his uncle would be well again, and that he should busy himself with this task of taking the sign to the bishop in Mexico City. She said these beautiful words to Juan Diego. She said, "Listen and let it penetrate your heart. Do not be troubled or weighed down with grief. Do not fear any illness or vexation, anxiety or pain. Am I not here who am your mother? Are you not under my shadow and protection? Am I not your fountain of life? Are you not in the folds of my mantle, in the crossing of my arms? Is there anything else you need?" These words surely comforted and reassured Juan Diego. He climbed that hill of Tepeyac and found on that hill a wide array of roses that were in bloom. And of course, this was a miracle unto itself. These roses blooming in that time of year. It was December of 1531. Juan Diego cut those flowers and put them in his garment. His tilma is what it's called. Almost like a cloak that's worn on both the front and back of your body. And he gathered those flowers in his tilma. Our Lady herself arranged those flowers in the tilma, and off he went to see the bishop once again. Upon arriving at the bishop's at the cathedral, the bishop's residence, the porters there, those who opened the door to guests, refused entrance to Juan Diego. They were not willing to allow him to see the bishop once again. But as soon as they saw within his tilma those flowers, those miraculous flowers, they opened the door and allowed him passage. Juan Diego entered into the presence of the bishop. He let the tilma go, and those flowers cascaded onto the floor. And of course, the bishop, his court, they were amazed at the flowers, but they were even more amazed at the image left on the tilma, the image of Our Lady, the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, who had appeared to Juan Diego. They fell to their knees and recognized this supernatural event. They trusted from that moment on Juan Diego and his message. They, of course, began the plans right then and there for that very chapel atop Tepeyac Hill. And it turns out that Juan Diego returned home that day to see his uncle Juan Bernardino, and his uncle had been miraculously cured. This is Treasures of the Faith. You're listening to Father David Schalk. We're talking about Hispanic presence and ministry in the United States and the Diocese of Columbus. And today we're focusing on this story of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which apparition took place in December of 1531. And I wanted to tell that story once again of the apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe, because it is so important to the faith, the religiosity of the people of Mexico, really all of the people throughout Central and South America. This narrative undergirds their faith. It's the heart of their faith. Hearing this story, they know that, yes, the Mother of God is with them, and her Son is with them as well. Those tender, beautiful words from Our Lady of Guadalupe to Juan Diego, they take as Mary speaking to them, these words: "Do not fear any illness or vexation, anxiety or pain. Am I not here who am your mother?" So to think of the faith of the Mexican people without Our Lady of Guadalupe, really it's inconceivable. They have this beautiful, touching, very personal relationship with the Mother of God. And in a sense, I can relate to that. I did not know about Our Lady of Guadalupe until I entered the seminary in the year 2000. I entered the Pontifical College Josephinum, and there she was, Our Lady of Guadalupe, on the walls of the seminary, in our chapels. I heard stories of her and the miracles associated with Juan Diego's Tilma, and I myself fell in love with Our Lady of Guadalupe, and my Marian devotion became centered on Guadalupe. I had the privilege in 2002, actually, of traveling to Mexico City and attending the canonization of Saint Juan Diego. Of course, Saint Juan Diego was canonized by our Holy Father at that time, Saint John Paul II. And Juan Diego became a very, very close friend of mine from that day forward. And I feel as if Our Lady and Juan Diego both protected me throughout my 8 years in the seminary, and Mary's prayers expanded my heart, allowed me to love her, allowed me to love her son and the church all the more, expanded my capacity for self-giving and self-sacrifice and self-control. This is what Our Lady does. This is how she forms us and molds us into disciples of her son. And so this special relationship that I felt for Our Lady, she guided me through the seminary that I fell upon being ordained. I need to thank her in a special way. And I returned to the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe there in Mexico City, and I was able to celebrate a mass of Thanksgiving that first summer that I was ordained a priest in 2008. And there at the Basilica, once again, I could see the faith of the Mexican people and how it was so profoundly impacted by Our Lady of Guadalupe. I saw people in the Basilica walking on their knees to present Mary with flowers in thanksgiving for the favors received, or walking on their knees pleading with Our Lady, asking for her protection, her intercession. I know it is a custom for Mexican mothers to bring their newborn infants to the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe and allow Our Lady to gaze upon their newborn sons and daughters. It's a beautiful understanding that yes, she indeed is with them. Here in Columbus, I know that the community at Christ the King, the Spanish-speaking community at Christ the King, has a profound devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe, and we celebrate her, of course, each year. We have a procession down Livingston Avenue, and we have a beautiful mass in her honor. Yes, we have people who walk on their knees, even in our church in Columbus, to present Our Lady with flowers and songs and rosaries. One particular story that touches me, it was the reception afterwards. We have a fiesta, we have a party, we have a reception after our Mass of Our Lady of Guadalupe each December 12th, and a young man, a professional in his own right, he was new to the parish, and he stood up at that reception, and he had everyone's attention. He asked if he had everyone's permission to sing a song to Our Lady, and no one, people knew this young man in our community, but we didn't know that he could sing. We didn't know that he could play the guitar. He got up there with the guitar in front of the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and he sang a song that he had recently written to her. And there was silence in that gymnasium, and people even began to have tears in their eyes to see this young man's love for his mother, our mother, Mary, Our Lady of Guadalupe. Again, it was an indication of this deeply personal connection, this deep love that he had for Our Lady. So this is the faith of the Hispanic people. As I say, it's emotional, it's sentimental, it's rooted in this motherly love and compassion. A very, very important aspect of Our Lady Guadalupe, she is known as the star of the new evangelization. And if I may comment briefly on this idea of Mary as the star of the new evangelization, and by the way, you're listening to Treasures of the Faith. My name is Father David Schalk. We're talking about Hispanic presence and ministry in the United States and in the Diocese of Columbus. We're focusing this fourth and final segment on Our Lady of Guadalupe. If you if you think about the story of Our Lady of Guadalupe, it's a story of evangelization. After Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared to St. Juan Diego, and after that chapel was built, indigenous native peoples, the Aztec nation, embraced, welcomed the Catholic faith. And it was within 10 years that practically the entire Aztec nation was Catholic. We're talking about 7 million baptisms in the years, that the decades following the apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And it's beautiful the way it worked out. Our Lady, she asked Juan Diego, this layman, this very humble individual, she touched his heart, and he in turn went out and proclaimed the message that she had given him. He first went to the bishop, and St. Juan Diego spent the rest of his life talking about Our Lady of Guadalupe. He spent the rest of his life talking about his Catholic faith. And through his witness, through his words, he was able to touch the lives of so many others. This is what Our Lady does for us. She touches our lives. She molds our hearts. She enables us to carry on this work of evangelization. And you can see this celestial intervention coming to the people of Mexico. Well, that celestial intervention still comes to the people of every country, of every nation. She is here helping us, working with both with the clergy and the laity to let her son be known. So in our own efforts of evangelization, and of course we ourselves listening now, we know that we need further evangelization. We need Christ to continue to conquer our own hearts and mold, shape our lives. As we allow that to happen, we in turn then go out and help him touch the lives of others. When it comes to the Hispanic presence here in the church in the United States and in the Diocese of Columbus, they understand, they have allowed Guadalupe to enter into their lives. And it's something that they're able to teach us, something that we're able to welcome as we welcome them. Their narrative becomes our narrative with regard to this story of Our Lady of Guadalupe. You know, we're talking about the Hispanic presence and ministry in the Catholic Church in the United States. We know that it is not easy to be a multicultural church. It's not easy always to welcome the stranger, but it indeed is very much worthwhile. It is indeed the will of God to create a unity out of this diversity. So as we do so, we have many issues to face. If it is regard to immigration, or if it's in regard to the changing face of the church, if it's understanding how we can be a multilingual, a multicultural church here in this Diocese of Columbus. But we entrust ourselves to the care of Our Lady of Guadalupe, who oversees this effort, who oversees the evangelization efforts of the church here in our country and in our church. So now we We ask for her intercession. We ask for her prayers as we pray together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for the gift of your mother, Mary. We give you thanks for the apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe to Saint Juan Diego. We know that with her prayers, with her intercession, with her presence in our lives, we can indeed carry out your mission to evangelize all peoples and all nations. Jesus, we ask you to deepen that devotion to Our Lady in our church. May all Catholics come to know the love of your mother and thereby come to know your love more and more. We ask your blessing, Jesus, upon all of the immigrants in our church throughout the nation and throughout Columbus. May they be welcomed and integrated into the church here. May we be one family under your Father and our Father. May we be brothers and sisters with one mother, Mary, Our Lady of Guadalupe. And we pray to her now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Treasures of Our Faith is a production of listener support at St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Treasures of Our Faith and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni Sancti.